I need something to stand on. I need a step stool. Short people got no reason to. What can I say? Yeah, you don't want me to break into song. It's not a good thing. If I cover that phone up, it's going to be okay, right? Okay. There are a lot of phones up here. You're right, Skip. Anybody need a phone? I got one cheap. $9.95. So. They're all broken.
Yeah.
Well, then $5.95. I'll tell you where to get the parts. Anyway, let's pray. Dearly Father, we just come before you right now as the songs that we sang this morning. You are such a God so full of grace and mercy that you want to be with us forever in heaven. I still can't fathom that you know. You want me, you want everyone here to be with you in eternity forever. What a blessing that you reached down to a fallen world and sent your son to pay for everything that we could never pay. And you're going to welcome us one day. And Lord, just today, this morning, just let these words from Apostle Peter really speak to our hearts, that we are truly King's kids. And we need to realize what our inheritance really is. And take hold of that in a fallen world and always be looking for the future where we're going to be with you forever. This is just a passing through. We really don't really want to have a heavy touch on anything here. We just want to see you face to face. So we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. So we're in 1 Peter. I'm all over the place right now because I'm teaching Daniel at Calvary Chapel Maranatha.
Awesome.
Bible College.
Awesome.
If anybody wants to do that, it happens to be at 4 o'clock in the afternoon at Maranatha Chapel. Maranatha Chapel is in Rancho Bernardo, so I'm teaching Daniel. And if you were to come over and just sneak in, I would just ignore the fact that you're there, and I would just think you're just sitting there, and then you don't have to sign up for the college class, and then just absorb the stuff. And I won't say anything if you don't say anything.
Awesome.
You know, until they tell me I'm wrong and I can't do that, well, you never know. So 1 Peter chapter 1. Basically, I'm going to go through verses 22 to the second chapter of verse 12. But the verse 22 basically starts where it says the word since. So I have to go over since what? So let me just back up real fast and tell you. Look at verse 1. It's happening that Peter is talking to the dispersion of the Jews. Because what happened? When Babylon came and took the Jews away from Judah into captivity under the king Nebuchadnezzar, that's when the dispersion happened. And since that time, the Jews have been scattered all over the world. And they're just starting to come home now to Israel in the last couple. There's only 12 million Jews in the whole planet. Okay, so they're definitely outnumbered, but that doesn't scare me a bit. I'd rather be on their team because they're going to win. So, you know, the second thing, look at number 3, verse 3, that we have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not something, Skip talked about hope too just a few minutes ago. We have this living hope. The song we sang today, I always marvel that the Holy Spirit tells Greg what to bring for the songs, you know. But bottom line, we find strength to face the day because all of our sins are washed away. You will see us through every trouble. And then you go to verse 6. I hate to say this to everybody, but the bottom line is we're all going to have trials. There it is in verse 6 right there. We have stuff in our life that just gets in the way of always having things turn out the way we want. Okay? Am I right? Am I right? So like last night at 10:15, I'm ready to go to bed. I get a call from Santee Drive-In. The ATM is down. I get to get in my car, drive all the way from Ramona down to Santee. I take 2 seconds and I push 3 buttons and it comes back on. And I go, dang, you know. Then I have to decide in my head, is that a spiritual attack or just a stupid machine breaking down, right? So I put 2 and 2 together. I'm speaking this morning. I'm teaching 2 classes, advanced biblical counseling at 2 colleges and Daniel, and teaching on Tuesday nights in 1 Peter at Calvary Chapel, Santee sometimes. And then Daryl on I think it was Tuesday, he sent me a note and said, you doing anything Sunday morning? Because I need you to come preach. And I said, okay. So, you know, so it's like we always have stuff. We always have stuff. So trials are always going to happen. Look at verse 6. It just says, greatly rejoice. I hate that. I don't mind having a problem, but I don't like when God tells me to rejoice over it, you know. So like last night at 10:15, I want you to know I was singing praise all the way down from Ramona to Santee. Okay, don't ask my wife because she'll tell the truth. Okay, so greatly rejoice because you don't be grieved by it, because your genuineness of your faith is being tested. In other words, how you come out of your trial is simply testing. I like to say it this way. You know, a car has a dipstick and it checks the oil, right? Oil in the spiritual realm is the Holy Spirit. It's always talked about oil, right? So we all have an internal engine in this body, and we need to check with our Holy Spirit dipstick and stick it in and check if we're full of spiritual oil or we're a little dry. Kind of like Skip was talking about fasting. If we're not, you know, when we turn our mind on things of God and get our minds off all the stuff around us, that's a happy place. And of course, as soon as you're done, you get a spiritual attack about 5 minutes later. So that's kind of what happens, right? That's just what happens. So various trials, okay? That the genuineness of your faith can come through and that you'll be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Listen, none of us are going through what Job went through. Okay? So the next time you feel sorry for yourself, just go read the first couple chapters of Job and get over it. Okay? It's not that bad for us, okay? Well, you know, I'm not living in the middle of Somalia trying to get a little bowl of rice to get through the day. I've got Jack in the Box on 17 corners on the way home, right? Okay, the other thing, if you then look at verse 9, we're tested, then we receive, because Philippians 4:19 says that our God will provide everything that we need. And in Peter, it says that all we need for life and godliness is contained in this book. That means everything for life, everything for godliness. I don't need to look anywhere else. That means you don't need to go to Barnes & Noble tomorrow and go through the self-help aisle anymore. You only need one book. It's on the other aisle called Biblical Tools.
Right.
Okay? Now, look at verse 12. Okay? To them it was revealed, because that whole chapter right there, that little section, the prophets have inquired, because Peter wants everybody reading his letter to know that he's saying the prophets have already revealed the fact that Jesus Christ was coming. This is all just accumulation of the progressive plan that God has. And even the prophets knew about this, but he says, look at who's really kind of really looking into it. Even the last sentence, even the angels are looking into your salvation being acted out on a daily basis. Angels are watching you and going, why does that person act that way? Can you imagine the angels when Jesus went to the cross? They had swords drawn, atomic bombs ready.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And Pilate said, well, are you king of this place or what? And Jesus said, if I wanted to be king, I could bring my army down. And you haven't read about what happened to Sennacherib and the Assyrians when they came. No. You know, one angel, 185,000 dead. If I bring down 10,000 times 10,000, it's all over. Okay? Bottom line is that the angels are watching our behavior, and they marvel. And I believe this. This is what I call a Hansenism. My last name is Hansen. My first name is Gary, so you can either call it a Garyism or a Hansenism. That means I'm not responsible for the content. Okay? It's just my opinion as a teacher. I really believe that we are the star witnesses on the stand in heaven that will convict everybody before the great white throne of judgment, including Satan himself, because we have had the knowledge of what God gave us. We accepted it. We said yes to Jesus. And now we go through the life. We get into heaven. And everything God promised is true. And we're the witnesses of that.
Amen.
You realize that? You are a star witness without even knowing it.
Mm.
You know? When Jesus calls you up to the stand, you'll be able to say, yes, angels, I'm here because of that guy right there, Jesus Christ. He did it all for me at the cross. That's why I'm here. And you are not here because what? You said no. We're going to read about that in a minute because Peter's going to talk about what happens to all those people that don't listen to the word. Then verse 16 talks about us being holy. And it's from Leviticus 19, 1 and 2. Leviticus is always the book that I don't like to ever teach because it's all about the blood. Okay? But basically, it's really crucial because life is in the blood. That's what was given at Calvary, right? Mm-hmm. Bottom line is that we are to be holy, for I am holy. Now, that's why we do things like serve the Lord, because he's asked us to be like him. C.S. Lewis said this, you've all caught the good disease. The good disease is faith in Jesus Christ and salvation. And now your job is to give that good disease to every other living creature. Okay? So, and we're to live a holy life. And then verse 17 through 20 then talks about our conduct. Let your conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay in fear. And if I were you, I have that underlined in my Bible. You might want to underline it in yours. Conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Why do I say to underline it? Because you're only staying here for a little while.
Amen.
This is not, if this is eternity, I'm really mad.
Yeah.
Period. Okay.
Right.
This is not my idea. Now, if you're a Jehovah's Witness, part of this is your heaven. Right? This is, you know, for people that never accept the Lord as their Savior, this is the most heaven they'll ever have, this right now, this planet. Okay?
Wow.
This is the most hell I will ever experience.
Amen.
This is it. I can't wait. And I was hearing during the song, Tiffany kept saying as the songs were going on, if you listen to the words coming out of her mouth were, Lord, yes, now, take me now. It's okay. Right? Now, I've got a granddaughter, almost four years old. I don't want to leave her. I mean, I love being a grandpa, right? But if you really ask me my dire choice as a human being, this place is crazy anymore. And I don't belong here. And I know now at age 65, I'm learning more and more every day that I don't fit here anymore. I literally don't fit. I taught school for 34 years. I always fit. If I started teaching public school today, I definitely would not fit because I could not teach what they asked me to teach.
That's right.
I would be a barnacle on somebody's back. I'd be an irritant because I would mention. If you ever notice that you can go anywhere you want, even Skip mentioned this morning Zen Buddhism and the art of motorcycle maintenance. Yeah. Bottom line is that you can mention anything you want at any group meeting. Yeah, you can mention anything you want, and people will go, well, really, wow. And you get help with that? Yeah, I've been in the self-help aisle now for 17 years at Barnes & Noble.
Right.
You know, 17 years I've been going up and down that aisle. I've read every book that's there. I'm kind of into everything. I'm kind of like, I'm eclectic.
Right.
I'm a little Buddhist. I'm a little Zen, right? I'm a little Hindu. I'm a little Jehovah's Witness. I'm a little bit of Mormon. I mean, for me, I just take what I like, and I absorb it, and I kind of go with it. You know? But then Jesus says, oh, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And all of a sudden, the whole room erupts. How dare you say there's only one way? Well, I didn't say it.
Right?
I didn't say it. Jesus did. Okay? It's on a big sign as you're driving on the freeway in L.A. when I was there yesterday. It just said, Jesus is the only way. Call the truth line. And they give you a phone number. So here we are. And why do we want to, look what it says, stay here in fear. Okay, throughout the time you stay here in fear. In other words, we had to have a healthy respect for what God requires of us.
Amen.
Not a dread fear that God's ever going to slap us down because he loves us. But Hebrews says that who God loves, he chastens. So if you've gotten a spiritual spanking, okay, say thank you because he loves you.
Amen.
Now, I love my granddaughter, but I don't let her eat 17 Twinkies and 7 scoops of ice cream and skip the, you know, the good meal, right? You got to have a, you know, I sneak it afterwards a little bit, you know. But bottom line is that God really wants us to be holy. That's his desire, because he said, I want you to be like my Father and I are. We are one. I want you to be one in the Spirit. Now, I will never be perfect, neither will you. I hate to say that. You husbands and wives, look at each other. She's never going to be perfect, and he's never going to be perfect. We are simply on a journey. We will never be sinless, but we will certainly learn to sin less. Right? Put that on your bumper sticker. The other bumper sticker right alongside is, be patient with me, God isn't through with me yet. Okay? So that's kind of what's happened now in these first 20-some verses. And again, why the conduct? Why should we act that way toward the Lord and really do what he asks us to do? Look what it says. Because you were not redeemed, verse 18, with corruptible things like gold and silver, but you were precious blood of Jesus Christ was shed for you on the cross. If he did all that for you to give you an eternity of life with him, why can't you give up a soda for 40 days? Now, don't. I'm not on a fast. I feel bad. Okay? I'm not fasting. So, but I have to admit this. I called Daryl when I was texting back, and I said, you know, I think I am going to fast the next 2.5 weeks from the news, though. I can't take the news anymore. I just can't. You know? So I am gonna do a spiritual anti-news fast. I think Liz and I have agreed. We're gonna, until Easter, I think we're just gonna, like, whatever happens, happens. I like what Ray Bentley at Maranatha Chapel says. Listen, all the stuff that's happening, quit worrying about it. It's happened exactly how God planned it to happen. So if nothing else, this is exactly where we're gonna end up. And who knows? You know, I love my nation. I fought for my nation. But, you know, maybe this is our judgment. You know, have you ever thought maybe Mr. Trump, President Trump, he could be the Cyrus. He could be Cyrus. It could be. So it's, you know, kind of crazy. I'm not going to put my faith in man. I'm putting my faith in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
But I'm going to pray for him, because they need spiritual guiding.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. So now let's get to our text. There we go. So since therefore seeing is referring back to all the points that I just went over in Peter chapter 1. Look what he first starts talking about in verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever, because you're going to pass away quickly, basically. All flesh is grass. Gone. Basically, he goes right into it and he says, listen, if you're a Christian, you are to love the brethren. Okay? Now, please understand something. You might want to write this one down. I didn't make it up. Heard it from a great pastor. Godly people don't always do godly things. Okay? So, don't hold people up to some kind of standard that you yourself can't adhere to. Just understand that a pastor might make a mistake, right? I'm dealing with two pastors in Indiana right now that have done a horrible job of counseling, and I'm having to interject myself into it. I told them right off the bat, I love you, and I'm not criticizing you. Let's just fix the problem, okay? Let's work on it together, all three of us. So bottom line is, remember, okay, now, so be devoted to one another. Honor one another above yourselves. In Philippians, it says, put the other guy first. Yeah, always put the other guy first. Okay? Now, try that when you drive on the freeway. Right? Like I told my wife this morning, we are fairly decent Christians Monday through Sunday. We really are. And I tell her, I go, and we're pretty good on our neighborhood. People know that I'm a pastor, and I get good chances to talk to my neighbors who aren't born again, and there's a connection, and my neighbor across the street came over the other day and asked about, is it true that if you're not a Christian, you don't go to heaven? And I went, could be. Would you like to really know about that? I got a small little book that you probably ought to read. It's the Gospel of John. And so we're making inroads. But I got to say, when I get behind the wheel, I cannot say I should put a lot of Christian stickers on my car.
Right.
I'm just telling you. On my cars, there are no Christian stickers. I just don't want the identification. Okay? I'm just telling you. So, and I'm sure that all of you are not like that at all. I'm sure when you drive, it's perfection all the way, right? Right? So, we are to love one another because that's the sign. If you have love in your heart for one another, that's how God will know and people will know that we are his disciples.
Amen.
So that's where Peter starts. After all that other stuff he went over, right? Then he goes right into this. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. You might want to put Psalm 37 next to that. Psalm 37. When you get home, read Psalm 37, because it tells you how to live your life. Dwell in the land, do good, and feed on his faithfulness. That's it. Dwell in the land, just dwell. So there you go. So, listen, it's all vanity if you try to do it all on your own strength, because it's all going to wither away and die anyway. Last time I checked, it's guaranteed we're all going to die. We're all going to wither away. There is no eternity down here. Then he goes right into it. Now, the word endures forever. I like everybody, just whenever you want to know how powerful the word is, there's two chapters in the Bible that will tell you how much the word can do for you. So they are Psalm 19 and Psalm 119. If you read those two, you are going to come to a place where you realize that avoiding sin, pursuing godliness, a motivation and basis for praising God, a pure lifestyle, readjustments in your priorities, insight into your purpose on earth, avoiding and learning from God's rebuke, a basis for evaluating criticism and opposition. Gee, that's a good one. A source of wisdom and guidance for day-to-day life, encouragement, hope, comfort, something valuable which to occupy your mind, a basis for truth, honesty, and integrity, a sense of freedom, a source of new songs, an accurate basis for self-examination, fellowship with like-minded believers, a solid foundation for our faith, protection and peace, the ability to discern right from wrong, a motivation for basis for prayer, the Lord's help. All those statements are all found. You can do all those things for what's in Psalm 119. Psalm 118 tells you all. It's how to live your life as a Christian. And Psalm 19 does the same thing. Psalm 19 and 119, it's like a how to live the Christian life. I have those two chapters in a separate little notebook. And when I start messing up, that's where I go. Because it says, okay, I got to start thinking like God thinks. Because what's normal?
Think like you think.
If normal's the way I think, we're all in trouble. Normal is how God thinks. So when you ask the question, homosexuality, what's God's normal? Man and a woman. The world says, it's whatever you feel like. It's just different. Normal for God is holy righteousness, holy, holy, holy. That's what we're called to be. That's normal. The world is abnormal. Get it? Abnormal. Okay, that's my own word. I made it up. Okay? All right. Now, this is the word by the gospel was preached to you. Then all that whole chapter, he's saying, that's basically everything in that chapter, number one, is the gospel. It's right there. It's all been given to you step by step. Now he goes on in chapter 2, remembering that he paid a debt that God did not owe. I owed a debt that I could not pay. God is not partial. He chose each one of us to be his child. We were bought at a price. Just think about that for a minute. The wages of sin is death, but God saved us from that end. And then this song, How Great Thou Art. And when I think that God and his son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. And then I shall bow in humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. And we'll be doing that for 10,000 times, 10,000 times. We'll do it for eternity. Okay? So it's great motivation, you know. And what are we told to be? We're told to be sober-minded. We're told to be holy. We're told that we're bought at a price. Remember, we're just passing through. This isn't our home. Abraham was a sojourner. We are simply travelers.
Amen.
We're travelers. That's all we are.
That's
In verses 24, 25, that's what's talking about how fleeting, and he was quoting Isaiah 40, verse 6 and 8 there. Isaiah verses 6 and 8. Listen, but the word endures forever. In 303 AD, Emperor Diocletian, he ordered that all scriptures in the entire world be burned. So the Roman Empire went out and gathered every parchment they could find, burned everything. 25 years later, Emperor Constantine comes into power, and he hires Eusebius to go write the Bible from all the stuff that didn't get destroyed. And all the church fathers had written all their notes. The word endures forever. They try to get rid of the Bible all the time. Mm-hmm. You could get rid of every Bible on the planet tomorrow morning. If you had one volume of the church fathers, you could rewrite the Bible except for about 15 or 20 verses. Mm-hmm. They're from the book of Esther because Esther doesn't mention God. So, now, we are to be like newborn babies, it says, okay? Verse 2 in chapter 2. As newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the world that you may grow thereby. Now, later, Paul tells us that I can't talk to you much about spiritual things anymore because you're babies still. You're drinking milk when you should be eating meat. We're not talking about that here. Here he's just talking about we should never, ever stop talking about the gospel in every single message from every single pulpit. It's the milk we need to hear every day. Amen. We don't want to ever get so sophisticated that we, oh, well, I've already heard about the gospel. Let's talk about Daniel and Revelation. Well, that's all about prophecy, and it's all about the Messiah. So let's get back to what the gospel is, okay? Now, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, bottom line is then that the word if there could very well be that, listen, if you haven't tasted it, then you're outside the gospel. Okay, and he's going to talk about it right now. Coming to him as a living stone. Who's the living stone? We are a living stone, okay? But the real living stone is Jesus Christ. He is the living stone, you know? There's a saying that, you know, my wife could make it. This came from John Corson, so it's not my story. So, but if my wife makes a great dinner one night, right? Roast beef, mashed potatoes, really good string bean vegetables or asparagus, you know, really good for making you all hungry, I know. Just a voluptuous meal, just ready, just to, right? But on the way home, I decide to stop by Taco Bell and have four burritos. When I get home, I don't care how good that meal is, it's just not going to be, I'm going to go, well, you know, can we put that in the fridge and get it later? You know, bottom line is that I gotta get it, you know? So the thing to us when we're on a fast or whatever, you know, I won't crave that meal. What happens if you aren't in the Word of God on a daily, everyday basis? Then you'll be consuming the junk of the world like Skip said. Mm-hmm. We need to lay aside the junk and then you'll desire the true Word of God and you'll have that milk and you'll want it every single day. So make sure you're doing that. As the deer pants for water, so we thirst after God's Word. Okay? My soul thirsts for the living God. Our hearts need to be humble. You know, willing to do what the Lord says. And in counseling, why do so many people fail in biblical counseling? Why do so many people come to ask for help, and then they're told what the Scripture tells them to do, and they don't go do it? It's because they're disobedient. You know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Isn't that the same? Right? That's why churches need to resemble hospital wards. Okay? This church is a hospital ward. I know what it does. I know who it serves. Because you really should change your name from church on that and call it Shzzz. S-H-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z. S-H-Z-Z-Z-Z. You're going to like this. Instead of church, let's call it Shzzz. Where are you going Sunday? I'm going to Shzzz. You're going where? Yeah, I'm going to Shzzz. You got to be, what? Yeah, I'm going to the spiritual hospital zone where I can get fixed. That's what I need. I need to get fixed every Sunday. For me personally, I need to get fixed Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's a daily experience for me.
Yeah,
so.
For sure.
Okay, so the living stone here in verses 4 and 5 is Jesus Christ, but the living stones with the S, that's you and I. If we follow our Lord and become like the good disease, become little JC, little Jesus Christ, we become living stones and we impact the world. We start building the temple of God here on earth, stone by stone. It's not a physical building, it's a spiritual building. It's a spiritual building. Peter is painting a picture for us here of a spiritual house. We are a temple. We're a spiritual temple. Where does God live here on earth? Well, look at your neighbor and realize that that's the home that God has chosen to live in. That's it. Living in my wife. That means if I get mad at my wife, who am I getting mad at? Who's living in that house? God. Can't do it. We are a temple, a spiritual temple. In Peter's day, Christians had a temple just as good as the Jewish temple that was in Jerusalem. In Hebrews, there was a huge problem, was that all the Christians were going back to Judaism. Okay? So, the bottom line is that we need to learn that we have every bit as good as the Jewish people had in terms of what they honored. Okay, and I'll go over that in a minute. And then we need to really realize that if we're a living stone, I need to flee those things that destroy the spirit. I need to flee sexual immorality and every other sin that a man can commit. Okay? In other words, it defiles the body. So listen, we're not our own. This is 1 Corinthians 6:18. 1 Corinthians 6:18. You're not your own. You were bought at a price, therefore glorify God with your body. Isn't that what were you paid for in chapter 1? What did we say? Not with precious stones. Blood of Jesus. Okay? The Hebrews had a real hard time. Israel was chosen by God through Moses. So is the church chosen by God. Equivalent. We're the Gentiles that God talked about reaching way back in Genesis chapter 3. Okay? Genesis chapter 3 says that the Jews first got the word from God. They gave it to then us. The Gentiles then came on the scene. Okay? Israel had a priesthood. Well, we have a priesthood too as Christians. We are a holy priesthood. Okay? What does it say? The holy priesthood. We literally, they had sacrifices. They sacrificed animals. What do we sacrifice? Our bodies. Our bodies. Now, this is foreign to the real world. Foreign. And that's what Peter's going to talk about now. He says, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, of those who believe on him will be no means put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." That's Psalms 118:22. Okay, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. I already talked about the very name of Jesus in an open room is like a poison to those that don't want. Christianity is no way inferior to Judaism. We are living sacrifices. Romans 12:1-2 says, present your bodies. We only have two choices in this world. We're either going to conform to the world or transform the world with which we're in. Daniel is a classic example of somebody who was taken into captivity, got a secular education in Babylon, but never was part of Babylon. He was a Jew living in Babylon, serving God in Babylon. We're called to be born-again Christians, serving God, transforming our neighborhoods in Spring Valley, in Santee, in Murrieta, wherever we go. For that matter, even on the freeway. So you're either a conformer or a transformer. Nehemiah, a transformer. Moses, a transformer. Joseph, a transformer. Joshua, a transformer. Paul, a transformer. Peter, a transformer. Don't forget, Peter's the guy that wrote this. He's the guy that denied Christ. He denied Christ. I love that Bible. Look, he's marking that thing all up. Way to go. I love Bibles that are marked up. Okay, here we go. Now, but you are a chosen generation. Here's the part I really want to get to this morning. Who are we? We are a chosen generation, just like Israel was a chosen people. God chose the Israelites as his people. Guess what? He chose each one of you to be his people.
Amen.
Okay, you're a child of the Most High God. Okay? Basically, bottom line is that you're a people set apart. That's what the word sanctification really means. Set apart for his work. we need to be able to understand that we're a chosen generation. This is our new identity. When you leave here today, I want you all to be able to walk out that door and say, God told me today that I have a whole new identity, and I need to start living out my new identity. Here's my new identity. Number one, I'm part of a chosen generation. That's right. Before the world was created, before this planet became a planet, God knew you were going to be sitting here as part of his chosen generation. Just like he chose the Jews back in Moses' time. Just like he chose Abraham. Okay? That's how important you are. That's how important you are to him. Number two, you're a royal priesthood. What does it say? But you are a chosen generation in verse 9. A royal priesthood. Each one of you is a royal priest in the kingdom of God. A mother is the priesthood, the priestess of her family. The father of the family is the priest, the head high priest. They had a high priest. You're the high priest of your family, men. That's what you are. Number three, we're a holy nation. We're a holy nation because across the entire planet, Christendom, whether I'm in Somalia as a Christian, or I'm in Egypt as a Christian, or a Chaldean Christian, or a Spring Valley Christian, or a Santee Christian, when we all get together at Maranatha Chapel, or at Santee, or Spring Valley, or you go to a retreat over in Murrieta, you get 15 churches at the same day at Murrieta, and none of us have anything in common in how we worship. Some people are loud, some are quiet, some are clappers, some are non-clappers, and yet, what do we all have in common? Everybody's walking around loving one another like Peter told us in the first part of that first chapter, love the brethren. You're a Christian. I love you. I don't know anything about you, but you're a Christian. I love you. That's all I need to know, because you're part of this new nation, a Christian nation that's worldwide, has no borders. Okay? And then we're his own special people. Just like the Jews are part of his own special people, so are we. I love that. I almost feel like I'm a new Jew.
Right.
You know, I'm a chosen generation, same as the Jews. I'm a royal priesthood, same as the Jews. I'm a holy nation, same as the Jews. I'm his own special people. Why? Because I'm a Christian, chosen by God. Now listen, these same titles were given to Israel. Israel, in Exodus 19, 5 and 6, God said, you will be my special treasure. Well, isn't that what a chosen generation is? A special treasure? Deuteronomy 4:20, you'll have an inheritance. Don't we have an inheritance? Yeah. Do you guys realize how rich you really are?
Amen.
Do you ever think about it? You're going to a place in eternity where they don't use asphalt to pave the road, they use gold. You are a multi quadruple billionaire, because when you get to heaven, you have it all. God said, I'm going to pour it all on you. Wow. You might be as poor as heck down here. You are rich beyond measure when you get there. Last breath here, first breath there, you go from being poor to being very rich. Deuteronomy 7:6 says, a holy people. Well, what were we called to be in chapter 1?
Holy.
Be holy, for I am holy. Same thing. And then Isaiah 43, be my people. That's what he said to the Israelites, to the Jews. What's he saying to us? Be my people. Same thing. We have it just as good. So what does that mean? This is what it means in closing. If you've never thought about it, that you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What a promise.
Amen.
We were called out of darkness and now we walk in the light. You know why the world can't stand you? Because you're too bright.
Yeah.
Start wearing dark clothes and lots of sunglasses and cover up. You're shining. You can't help it. And that's what offends them. That's why the word is offensive until the Spirit opens up the blinders on that person and they realize and see themselves as they truly are. And then further it says, who once were not a people, because we once weren't a people of God, but now we are a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay? So we are we are going to still be in the next, we're not going to go to the next chapter there, but the next verses, beloved, I beg you as sojourner pilgrims. Hey, listen, the bottom line is we've got to abstain from fleshly lusts that just take us away from God. But here's the bottom line. Here's what I'm going to leave you with. Here's what Peter is basically saying in chapter 1 and 2 up to verse 12, basically. He wants to remind you that you are chosen before the foundation of the world for good works.
Thank you, Jesus.
Our question should be, since you did that for me, Lord, what can I do for you and your kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
Because you've made me a king's kid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a king's kid.
My
father-in-law used to say that to me, and I never understood what it meant until I became a pastor. I'm a king's kid. I'm just not Gary Hansen, Pastor Gary, or just Gary, or Mr. Gary, or just retired teacher, ATM vendor, husband, grandpa. Yeah, I'm so much more than all those things. I'm a king's kid.
Amen.
I'm part of a chosen nation. Part of a generation set apart to do what God wants me to do in a fallen, broken world. He just wants to get the word out there that he wants everybody to be a king's kid. Because he said basically this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that they all could become God's kids.
Amen.
And king's kids.
Amen.
That's what we want to send out. That's what we want to tell people. That's why I marvel when I hear the songs. Every song we sang today was all about that. It was about, this is what God's given us, and now we're giving it back.
Mm.
All we are, as Gary Totten and I always have it, seem to always say together, I'm just one beggar giving bread to another. That's all we are. I'm a fallen human being that God raised from the depths of despair and said, I'll save you. And then I want you to go and do what I ask you to do in the kingdom. I'm a king's kid. You're a king's kid. What's your inheritance? Eternal life. To be with God and live with him and speak to him on every second of the moment. There is no time in heavens. You can't use seconds. But literally, you're going to be conversing with the Almighty on a constant basis in heaven all the time. And you know, when you get to heaven, you're not going to go, I just can't wait to talk to old Nebuchadnezzar, or I want to get to heaven. I'm going to ask Daniel about that. You might do that. I think you're going to be so impressed by everything up there, you're just going to go, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
What more? And then you're going to learn forever, because everything about God that we have on earth is contained in here. Right? But this is not all that God is.
No.
There is so much here that he didn't put in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he says that it's going to take 10,000, 10,000, 10,000 years to learn of him. We're just going to keep learning about how his mercy is really, and we're going to be up there as he starts creating new heavens and new earths.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what they're going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Revelation says there's going to be a big square, basically.
Like a diamond.
You know, what?
Yeah.
That can't rotate.
Yeah.
Well, God doesn't need to do that. He rotates whatever he wants to rotate.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, think of this. The next time you're in the doldrums, the next time you're in the middle of a fast, the next time you're on that California freeway system, you are a king's kid.
Amen.
You are a king's kid destined for eternity, and you can't get it any better than that.
Amen.
That's what Peter is telling us.
Amen.
King's kids. We should all get t-shirts. We really should. We really should. I'm a king's kid.
Amen.
You know, I did this one time. I shouldn't have done it, but I did it. I told somebody they were bugging me at school one time. And I just turned to them and I said, I don't have to do a thing you said. Say, I'm a king's kid and my king is bigger than your king. Go tell that guy that something else. Probably shouldn't have done it that way. But bottom line is, we're king's kids. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the inheritance you've given us. The fact that you've made us your sons and daughters. That you have a place for us. That we are part of a new nation. A new chosen people, that we are ready to be with you forever. And down here, while we're still on earth, you want us to build this kingdom that you're creating here for the ushering in of your son. Lord, we just can't wait for you to take us out. Lord, the word Maranatha means, Lord, come quickly. So, Lord, although we enjoy the parts of life you've given us, we enjoy our families. Lord, I will not be disappointed at all if you surprise me in the parking lot in 37 seconds and take me home. It's okay with me. So, Lord, come quickly. But in the meantime, Lord, renew us that we not be conformers but be transformers in a world that needs so much transformation. And we just ask you again, Lord, and thank you that we are King's kids. We all said amen.
Stand together. You are stronger.
You are stronger.